What are you hearing today from the Lord? I know what you've learned, but what are you hearing today? And then I want to remind you of this. It says, man can't live by bread alone. You can have it all. You can have a whole stockpile of it. But you can't live by that. As a matter of fact, if you do go back and try to have some of that that's from yesteryear, it'll probably make you sick. See, when the manna came, he said, this is for today. And you have to gather it when? Today. And the voice of the Lord, today, if you'll hear my voice. Are you going to take time today? Are you going to present yourself to him today to hear, Lord, I'm so thankful for what you told me to do, and I'll do my best to follow through with that. But I'm presenting myself to you today for a current move of God. There we are. Hallelujah. So the tenses of past and present and future. Here's the verses. We'll run through some of these quickly. Now, I want to share this thought with you. The tenses relative to God and relative to man are different. And there's one great big difference. We'll get into it in a minute. But I want to tell you this about God. He is the same. Really important that you know. I know that I'm going to share verses with you, but if the Holy Spirit gets hold of them, and you know, everybody can quote this. One of them is the one at Hebrews 13, verse 6. You all know that, don't you? It says, that's Jesus Christ, the same. When? Yesterday. What tense is that? Past. Today. What tense is that? Present. And forever. What tense is that? Future. Now, when the Holy Spirit gets, now all of us know that verse, but all of a sudden, if the Holy Spirit will come today, Father, would you come with your Spirit today? Would you fall on us, Lord, today? Would you remove the veil of our flesh so that our spirit man can receive boldly and readily the Word of God? Because if you'll receive this today, then you'll find out that what he did can be current. And what he promised to do can be current, and it'll change everything for you. So Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And in Malachi 3 and verse number 6, this is a promise from the Lord. He says, I am the Lord. I'm the Lord, and I change not. Now, we're going to do relative to man in a minute. And thank God, I've got good news for you today. We are not God. Amen. And guess what? And you can change. Now I know. Now listen. I did the psychology thing. And they say there's some things in you that you can't get over it. You'll go to some classes even with whatever it is that you might be bound with. And they'll teach you that you've got to go on saying. And we start off our session by saying that this is what I am. And thank God I've got wonderful news for you. Amen. We're not God, because God is God and I change not. And I just want to repeat right after him, and I'm man, and thank God I am changed. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm God and I change not, so we're going to get that. So the value now of reading the stories in the Bible is to find out about him, because I am God and I what? And I change not. Amen. So every story, when you read about him, I am God. Now look, you'll find in there, I'm going to try to put all this together for you here. There's a secular saying that history, what do you know about history? Repeats itself. And there's a cycle. If you were part of the Hebrew children, and you had even though you had a promise from God, and even though you were serving a God who had done miraculous things over here, but you were with him right now, and you were going round these mountains, round this mountain, in the wilderness setting. Let's go around the mountain together. I'm here, and I come around, and I get over here, and where am I at again? Here it comes again. And here it comes again. And here it comes again. And you know what those people needed? They needed to hear this, what Joshua. This is why I shared with you earlier the same thing that God spoke to Moses about being the I am. He said, Joshua, you need to right now, what? Open up your heart, be strong and courageous. Because why? Because the Lord thy God is with thee. The one who changes not is with you, and you can change that pattern. 40 years. There's a lady who's 38 years fighting for her healing. Do you think she knew that God was a healer? Of course she knew it. That's why she came. Do you think she had a hope that one day it would come? Yes, but thank God. After 38 years, that's quite a cycle, isn't it? Come on now, open up your heart with me, because sadly we get in a rhythm. We get in a rhythm of failure. We get in a rhythm of depression. We get in a cycle. I don't know how many people you know. It stands out with some, but you don't point your finger at them, because if the Holy Spirit would reveal our own hearts to us, we would see that same cycle and that same pattern, and we need the same help that they need. You say, well, I see them starting to get encouraged, and then they fall right back into that after a season, and every one of us are in that same cycle because it's the natural. But thank God we've been visited by the supernatural. And the reason that you need to know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world is there's a spirit and a way that's in the world. But, oh God, would you teach us your ways? He's God and he changes not. Revelation 1, verse number 8. This is John the Revelator, who is also John the Beloved, who is also the Apostle John, who is a disciple with a revelation of the love of God, a personal revelation, and one who has been with him and knows what he has done and seen him do things. Guess what he needs? A current, eye-opening, come on, church, visitation from God, where the veil is rent and the glory of God is presently seen. I came under such conviction. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I visit with somebody. Well, that little group that came to see me, now, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been here? And where were you at before that? And then somebody asked me the other day, how many marriages have you done? How many baptisms have you done? How many messages have you preached? How many sermons do you think? You know, I'm an old man. I guess you've noticed. So there is and so I've got a history. And John had this. This is how the conviction came. And I was just saying, John, who is he? He's a disciple. Did he know Jesus? He spent time with Jesus. Was he there when Jesus did some things? He was there when Jesus did some things. And now it's a day for him. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to come and visit John and say, I want to open up and I want to reveal. Listen to this. This is John, the Apostle John, who needs a revelation, not of heaven. The revelation is what? The revelation of Jesus. Before you get cocky and say, you don't tell me about him, I know him. John could have said, have you slept with him? Slept side by side with him? Were you there when he did this? Were you there when he did that? And so I humbled myself and I said, oh God, I don't want to do another Sunday. I don't want to have another, let me see, what can I find in here this week to pass on to them? Would you open up heaven? Would you somehow send holy fire? Would you burn something so strongly in me that there's a passion that can be released? And somebody would say, we've been in the presence of God. revelation. So Revelation 1:8, John had this opened up to him, and he saw him, not like he knew him before. He saw him currently, fresh revelation of Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, hallelujah, I am, and listen to this, he's going to give the three tenses, but I don't know if he was having a bad day, he forgot that past comes before present, or maybe he really knew what he was saying. He said, I am the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. Isn't it interesting? How many of you would start off with, I am the one who is? Most of us would. It's natural, isn't it? Was and is to come. Who was and who is to come. That's the way we do it. But he come to you. See, this is how you know it's present. This is how you know it's him who's present with you. Because he won't come and say, look what I've done. He's going to come to you and say, look who I am. See me right now. I'm the one who is and who was and who is to come. What you're hearing now can be confirmed in who he was and in the promise of what he's going to do. But you need to have it in the present tense right now. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Ecclesiastes 3:15, we've done this over the years, over and over. It's one of my favorite Bible verses and has answered so many questions for me. But in this study, I got a new revelation of it because I started differentiating between being in God and being in me. I'm so glad that I can be in Christ Jesus. Do you know why? Here's why. Ecclesiastes 3:15 says, that which hath been, what tense is that? That which hath been? Past. That which hath been is now. What tense is that? That's present. And that which is to be, what tense is that? Future. Hath already been past. And God requireth that which is past. Now, that's the future. Boy, what a jumbled up mess we got there in that little passage of scripture. But here's what it is. So the secularists, you know what they say? They go back to Solomon's understanding that there's nothing new under the sun and that history repeats itself. And that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. But I'm telling you something different. It's the revelation. He doesn't, you know, he hasn't come to work on you psychologically. He has come to give you a new, fresh understanding of who he is, present tense. And he wants you to know that, now watch, that which was is going on now. I wonder how many times we would open up our heart to when we read the story about what happened and what he did and who he was and his mercy and his kindness and his deliverance and his provision. If we would open up our heart and say that which hath been is now. And if that's not good enough for you, the promise of what he's given us for to come, he's already done if you just look back and see it and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, and you'd know that it's present for you right now. And that thing which he did, the Lord requireth. I got a new understanding all of a sudden. It said God requires that which is past. Do you know, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to take what God did, and he's requiring. How many of you, you know, when you line up for a class or whatever and you get your the outline of what's going to be, you need to find out what the requirements are, don't you? And God's requiring. He's requiring. God requires that which is past. God met those needs, and he's come present tense into my life, and he's requiring that which is past. It's a requirement for the kingdom. I said, okay, praise God. Well, I got excited about it. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, This is where Moses said, because Moses didn't feel adequate. How many of you sometimes don't feel adequate? Is the job that we're lined up for more too much for us? But is it too much for God? You know why you don't think you can do it? Because of your past. because of what you know about yourself. See, but you don't know what God knows about yourself. There's a current word and there's current strength. And so Moses said, well, I don't think I can do this. And when I go to them, they're going to know I can't do it also. And whom shall I say sent me? And he answers back and says, tell them I am that I am. In other words, I'm going to be present with you. I am. Moses wanted to talk about his infirmity or his weakness. One of the reasons we pray in the Holy Spirit is we don't pray with our understanding because your understanding is hampered. But praise God. He'll bring you into something present because he's the one who's with you. And what he can do. Amen. Well, we've got that. Now, let's reflect back. So there's present. I'm talking about tenses now relative to God. We got those verses there that have to do with let me give you a few. By the way, under that Exodus 3, 13 and 15, when he says, I am, when Jesus came to show you that you can know what God did and not have it be present with you, when Jesus came, he took the words of God, when God said, I am, and he lived them out, present tense. Can you help me with it? Anybody? Let's do the I ams of Jesus. You know God, the I am, right? Can you do any of the I ams of Jesus? I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. Oh, I love this. Watch me. Remember when the soldiers came and Jesus was under fire and they came to arrest him? Remember? Jesus was in the garden praying with his disciples and they came to arrest him. And that group of soldiers, armed. And Jesus lifted up his head and he said, whom do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. Anybody here, you always want to say, I am. Go ahead, finish. I am. Go ahead, finish that off. But see, in your King James Bible, it'll be in italics, I am him, or I am the one that you see. No, but it's just I am. That's all he spoke, I am. And when he spoke that, what happened to that crowd that was after him? Wouldn't that be wild? They all fall down. They all fall down. I said they all fall down. There was a temple called the Temple of Dagon. And they brought the present tense God into it. And what happened to all of those idols that was in that temple? They all fell down. Do you see that when I say he was and he is? I could do so many times with you, and we've done this in the past, but it's so revelatory. When Peter, says, oh, this is that which was spoken over here. And it happened in seed form there, but the promise was given for a time we thought was over here. But Peter stood up and he says, oh, I got it. All of a sudden, this is that. What is the difference between this and that? That's right. Now and that was either over there or over here. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, two sisters present, what do they say? One sister says, if you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. The other sister says, oh, but you don't worry about it because in the day of the resurrection, we'll see him again. See, that and that is going to come together in this. The promise can come now, and the history of it can show up again, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Aren't you glad that God did something great? How many of you are glad? Aren't you glad that you know he will do something great? Is there anything, do you think, that might be better for you today? Thank God that the history and the promise come together. When Jesus said, this is 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 30, says, Jesus today, right now, is made unto you righteousness, sanctification. Praise God. So it's coming to you right now. So some of the I ams of Jesus: I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's Jehovah Rapha. See, in the Old Testament, it said that Jehovah Rapha. Some people are believing that one of these days they won't have to suffer this anymore. But the veil in the temple is rent. And there's a current, fresh word of God that you live by. The difference between I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to have that abundant, that overflowing of who he was and who he promised to be in the now. Present tense God. I know that takes faith. We'll do faith in a minute. This is wonderful. These tenses in faith. Oh, praise God. Let's give a real quick little example of the past and the present and the future. In Genesis 22, verses 7 and 13, this is God spoke to Abraham, said, Abraham, I want you to take that son that you've got all this hope in, and, you know, the son of the promise, take your son Isaac, and we're going to sacrifice him today. He's going to become the sacrifice. And so Abraham started up the hill, and he's got Isaac with him, and Isaac stops and asks a question. Isaac says, "Where are we going, Dad?" Says, "Well, we're going to sacrifice a lamb today. We're going to offer a sacrifice to the Lord." And Isaac looked around and he says, "Oh, there's a servant over there. He's carrying the wood." He says, "I see the wood. Another one over there. He had the fire already going." He says, "I see the wood, I see the fire." He says, "What's missing? Where's the lamb?" And present tense here, he says, "God will provide." Watch, see, it's God's going to provide for this. And now that when they get up there, evidently he starts to get the picture. When the father lays the wood down and says, "Lay down on that wood there, son." Whoa. But then, verse number 13, hear what it says? It says, "But there was a voice that spoke to him and said, hold on, wait a minute. Because, you know why? The lamb has already been provided. There's a ram that's caught in the thicket. And it says, look somewhere. You know where it says to look? Look behind you, because there's a ram caught in the thicket. Do you know anything about the lamb that was slain for your salvation? He was slain from the foundation of the world. Where is that? Is that past, present, or future? He was slain from the foundation of the world. Look back there. It's already provided for you. Amen. And so that which was already provided for you. Now let's do present tense, because John now is baptizing people in water for repentance, and they want to have new life, but you can't have new life without him. And here comes Jesus walking, and John says, "Behold." Here's a signal. By the way, behold is never for yesterday and never for tomorrow. Behold is always present tense. Behold. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. Don't you love it when angels come and they bring the current word of the Lord? And behold. You have to have your eyes open to behold. Behold the current revelation. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Future, Revelation 4, verse number 6. This is John, has heaven opened up to him. And he saw seated on the throne. Now don't forget, who remembers Hebrews 13, 6? Jesus Christ, what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, won't it be great when you get to see him on the throne, when he gets to take his place on the throne? Oh no, he's the same. That one, this one, and that one is the same. And when this present tense thing, when it comes and gets hold of you, that's when it's all released and the glory of it begins to take place. Praise God. Well, just quickly, does everybody kind of understand what we're talking about so far? When God provided over here, and you know that he's going to provide, you know he's able to provide, right? What does it take for it to happen right now? It takes a certain kind of faith. Do you know what kind of faith it takes? Isn't that an interesting word that when he's teaching about faith in Hebrews 11, like I said, this is now faith. What kind of faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look, what's the hoped for? If you're hoping for something, what are you? It's out here, right? Watch. What kind of faith? Now faith is the substance. Sub is under. Is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, see, you've got it in you. You don't even know it. The substance of things that you're hoping for is buried inside you. And the evidence of things not seen. I've heard about it, but I've not seen it. I don't see it in my day. Well, praise God. Listen. When faith comes, faith, now faith. Amen. So, thank God for the I am. That's Jesus when he comes, because everything that he was comes and is activated in him. And everything that's been promised, evidently we have access to by faith, because we pray that as it is all the way over here, that it would start to break through on the earth. Amen. All right. Well, so all those stories, when he reads you as a story about a little army rising up and being strong and defeating great powers. How many of you know that's history and that really happened? And you know it's still happening, isn't it? Little army. Everybody know what the Six-Day War was for Israel? A little group. Say, we know about Jehoshaphat, but is there anything current? Do you know what the prophecy is about Armageddon and about how all the armies of the world and one little nation over there? But see, we've got a history, and then we've got a promise of what's going to come. Here's what you need today. You need to fellowship with him and let God be a current God for you. He's the I am that I am, because that victory is your victory. That peace is your peace. Somebody says, well, I'm trying to have peace when in the midst of all this. Oh, it's supernatural. There's an eye in the middle of all the calamity and all the din and the noise where the peace of God is present. It's the secret place of the Most High. It's a place where there's supernatural. When you don't have enough, all those stories about that widow with the multiplication and of the oil and... Wouldn't it be someone? I need one of those kind of miracles. Anybody need one of those kind of miracles? Well, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. I dare you to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I dare you just open up your heart and say, Father, I'm just by faith believing and saying the word of God that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's what you did, then that's what you do. And if that's what you promised to do, then I'm believing that's what you're doing, because you're the same right now. Hallelujah. Now, some of you need to get hold of this. Then I already shared this with you. We are not God, because now we're going to do the tenses relative to man. The tenses relative to man is you need to, first of all, we got to get off the throne, and we are not God. He's God and we're not. He's God and he doesn't change. We're not God and we do change. Amen. Nick, wonderful news. Here's some B. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, what? From glory to glory you're being changed. Thanks be to God. You know, I want to stir this up in you, because some of you, because, you know, after you're going around this 38 times, and now you're in the 39th year of it. And and your hope seems to be dwindling. The Holy Spirit will come with fire and stir that up inside you again. And you are closer now than you've ever been to your breakthrough. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Everybody say new. He's a new creation. What do you know about old things? Old things have passed away. Here's a behold word. Behold, I make all things new. Whenever you see behold, it's current. That's eye-opening for you right now. Behold, he wants you to see it right now. Ephesians 2, verse number 1 says, and you who were dead, what tense is that? Past tense. Thank you. College student, you know that. Teacher. You who were dead in sins and trespasses, hath he, important word, hath he now quickened and made alive in Christ Jesus now. So he's bringing, I'm telling you, come on, some of you who have the pattern of defeat in your life, or the pattern of depression, or the pattern of failure, or the pattern of falling. Come on, this is your season right now of visitation, because it's the time when we're releasing our faith, that pattern is going to be broken. We are not God, and we do change. Amen. Oh, here's a good one. That Ephesians 5, verse number 8 says, you were one time, once. King James says once. Once, what's that mean? What direction is that? You were once darkness. Somebody told me this week, it says, just the time when I think I'm doing all right, I have these horrible dark thoughts. I understand that, because there's a pattern going on there. You were once darkness. You know what you need? You need a now. Come on. I know what you know what you were, but do you know what you are? So much of the church, we know what he was, but do we know who he is? We know what we were, but do you know who you are? Let this come to life and be awakened in you today. You were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. And thank God you can walk now as children of light. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 18, we keep looking into this and into his word. Look into the mirror of his word, and you are changed. Praise God. Now listen, that pattern, remember, I've got hope for you today. Whose image is it that you're going to be changed into? His image. Come on, you want to have some good news? Because remember the old image that is in that pattern, has that pattern of failure? What do you know about his image? He's God and he what? Changes not. Amen. There's a season of visitation. There's a time of coming out of that darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Revelation 21, verse number 4. Oh, yeah. I do this at funerals. I love to do it. I'd rather do a funeral than a wedding anytime. I love to be out at the graveside. And we do this. And I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's what he says. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth were passed away. Praise God. And then he goes on to build this, to build on this. He says, he talks about some other things that were passed away. Sickness was passed away. What do you know about sickness? It'll pass away. What do you know about sorrow? It'll pass away. What do you, if you're in a present time of turmoil, do you know anything about it? This too shall pass. It's going to pass away. Amen. But there's that which is forever. Praise God. Forever established. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. Isn't that wonderful? Does everybody, do you remember anything about that? There's some things you're supposed to forget. He says, remember not. Remember not. Yeah. Boy, aren't we trapped? Phew. If I could just get it. You know, I love you all. I just can't get away from me. But he says, remember not the former things. Former. See what tense is that? Praise God. Have you got a history? Have you got a history of falling in the same thing over and over again? All of us do, don't we? Remember, come on, stir up something new and fresh in you. Remember not the former things. And it says, for, watch, here's the behold word again. So what tense is when you see that behold word? It's going to be present tense right now. Now, behold, I do a new thing, saith the Lord. The only question is what? Will you not see it? Will you not know it? Can it be revealed to you? Can it? Can you fellowship with him? Can you hear the word of the Lord? Come on. Hallelujah. Wonderful news. Praise God. Now there's some things about your past, and even though he's God, now watch what he does. Jeremiah 31, 34, he says, he's God. Thank God, and we're not. So I know I can change. And you know what? There's some things when it says, remember not the former things. How many of you think God keeps his word? If he says it to you, do you know what he? He doesn't remember your sin. Where is it remembered? In this old, unrenewed mind, where the accuser I promise you this, I will remember your sin no more because of this new, current, fresh presence of God. Psalm 103, verse 12. I forgot what that is. Who knows? Anybody? Oh, because here's why. I will remove it as far away as the east is from the west. Praise God. Well, thanks to the Lord for it. So there's your past. What do you know about your past? He remembers it no more. Well, if he doesn't remember it, then let's not talk about it anymore. How many of you are glad? Now, I know that's going to blow some of you away because some of you think that one of these days when judgment comes, you're going to have to go stand before the throne in front of all your friends, confess all those things that, and fess up to all those things that you did. Well, that day's already gone. He's already been swallowed up. That judgment's already taken place in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for it. Amen. Some of you have been humiliated enough. It's time to get a crown. Isn't it? It's the day to get a crown. Hallelujah. Amen. This judgment today, this one is coming, is for reward, not for punishment. Praise God. Well, amen. Psalm 46, 1, this about the tenses of God now. He's a very, what kind of help is he? Present help in time of trouble. Don't you love the word present? Doesn't it make you want to present yourself to him? Amen. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Let's take roll call. I know you can say here, but present. Praise God. Amen. For the promises of God, Judith Rowden. Present. Amen. For your healing and anointing, Carol Archer. present. Hallelujah. Amen. For encouragement and strength, Mike and Diane, present. Amen. So we present ourselves to him in the present, in the now. Here it is. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Joshua 1:9, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because I am with you. The Lord your God is with you. How about the future? You know, all the promises of God about the coming. We don't know much about heaven. And Betty, how many of you are smart enough to know it's going to be a good place? There's good things that are coming. Amen. Praise God. Is that the last one? Praise God. You mean I'm done? All right. Well, what do you think? Do we need a current word? You need a now kind of faith? Amen. This morning after I did all that, put that outline together a couple weeks ago, and then this morning as I was in looking at my mirror, looking at myself shaving, and I started singing the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Yeah. And it went off the ages, you know. So he's the rock, what? The rock of the ages. Ages. Do you know any certain age? The different ages? Like historically, the earth went through different ages, but he's the rock of the ages. He brings them all together. When we do again, let's do around that, those children of Israel, when God brings them out, and then, but there's a cycle in their life that needs to be broken, and the present tense God will break that cycle. Amen. So I just wanted to bring hope to you today that he is very present tense. And if you've been looking for, I'm just challenging you, I've been waiting for this to happen. Father, I thank you that you're a God who keeps his word. You're a covenant-keeping God. And listen to this. If I spoke it, will you receive this today in Jesus' name? This is just like Jesus himself looking you right in the eye. He says, if I spoke it, I will bring it to pass. You can read about it happening over there. You can have the promise of it coming. But you need to know this right now. The promise of Messiah. Do you know the difference between today Christians and Jewish people? Christians believe that Messiah has come. And Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah. But to as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become the children of God. Receive him. Present tense. Let me pray for you now. Different people in here are going through different things. And I know you know things are eventually going to get better. But I'm telling you there's a place for you. I've got a place prepared for you right now. I'm ministering to you right now. I'm with you right now. I'm not going to be with you. I'm with you right now. And I'm the Lord and I change not. And if I did it, then I'm doing it right now. And by faith, we receive him. We receive what you're doing. We receive who you are. The reason I don't have to try to get right is because you are right and I receive you. The reason I don't have to try to get well is because you are the God that heals me. I don't have to try to make things better. I receive what you've done. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being very present with me right now. The help that you need, the strength that you need, you are in his presence, and he is God. Now, Father, we release our faith and we reach into that area, the area of our hopes, the area where we've not seen it yet, but we believe it. And we, by faith, begin to pull those things. And we don't say one day, we say, I thank you, Lord. I open up my heart and I receive and I believe that you're with me now. I did a little quick study on the difference between always and always. Isn't that you want to do something kind of interesting? Always. We never say always, but you always say always. But I noticed in the King James it says always. And it has to do with tenses. I'll be with you always. Remember, whatever it is that you're going to, but when he says, I am with you always, he's bringing it into the now. He wants you to get so enthroned or encircled. Somebody says, thank God there's going to be angels over there. No, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. It's now. Praise God. Well, bless your hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Praise God. That's right. That's heaven. And let's make some. Anybody need to make some withdrawals? You need to pull some strength. You know it's laid up for you. Praise God. Reach out with your faith. Amen. There's a lady, she knew that he could, and it became activated in her, and she reached out, and she touched the hem of his garment and brought it to her. Reach out with your faith today for the peace that you need, for the provision that you need. Let's reach out today and gather some of our lost children, grandchildren, into his presence. Father, we just thank you for the promise of God. Come on. Has he spoken anything concerning your children and grandchildren? Amen. Father, we just thank you. We pull with our faith today. We receive by faith today. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a God that does what you promised you would do. He's a doer. Amen. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for your healing today. If you're anybody in the house that's hurting, you know what God did and you know what he can do. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for the breakthrough to come now. Ask for the veil on these temples to be rent, for the glory of God to be seen. You're a present tense God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so by faith in Jesus' name, I receive healing and help and strength. Praise God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and thank you for coming today, for receiving. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, Cody Becker. Praise God. Amen. Young men, get up and come to church. Hallelujah. Good to see Wayne and Lillis. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming to fellowship with us today. Praise God. Are you encouraged? Are you blessed, people? Amen. All right. Praise God. All right. Let's gather in again quickly.